Hi, everybody. I'm traveling this weekend. I'm celebrating my mother's 80th birthday in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but I'm with you in spirit. Today's message is so very, very important for you, for our church, and even for our future. It's really the fruit of 9 months, hundreds and hundreds of hours of praying and planning and dialoguing and preparing for this fall's ministry launch. And our pastors and directors have been leaning into this question about how do we grow in faith? How do we better help our church to live in vital union with Jesus Christ? One of our great strengths at Westwood and our potential weakness or vulnerability is the diversity of our faith backgrounds. The upside of it is that the Holy Spirit is here because we are united together in an extraordinary way that could only be accredited to our Lord Jesus Christ. But the downside of it is we all come from a different filter, a different background concerning how we understand growing in spiritual life. And so we've worked together to see if we could come up with a common language. And the result of these last 9 months is being rolled out today. And I've asked Pastor Brian Suter to represent the work of our whole team to deliver a message that will launch us into the future. So Brian, no pressure. But knock it out of the park today, would you? And friends, would you help me welcome Pastor Brian Suter?
Thanks, everybody, and welcome to those of you who are here in this room and to everybody online, wherever you are. So glad that you've joined us and that we could be together on this wonderful extended weekend. I want to invite you to take out your message notes this morning. Now, some of us do that, others of us choose not to, but I just want to ask that everybody does it today. And even for those of you who are watching with us online, maybe grab a different computer or perhaps just take a brief moment so that you can get those somewhere so that you can access them, because they'll be a helpful guide as we go forward. If you are a note taker, do your thing. If you're not, maybe consider taking some notes here this morning. For me, it was an uncomfortable place to sit, but for the moment, it felt like the safest place to be. It was 2007, and with 40 students and leaders, we were in the heart of our annual high school ministry trip to Colorado. I had perched myself on top of a rock pile at a safe distance as I watched 25 students, one by one, in harnesses and helmets, clip into their carabiners, get connected to their rappelling descenders, and hear the final instructions that sounded insane and similar every time. And they sounded like this: walk backward to the edge of the cliff. And when you get to the edge of the cliff, lean back off of the 100-foot sheer drop-off like you were sitting in a chair. It's as safe as we've told you that it is. So one by one, with varying courage and speed, every student came to their moment and leaned back off of the face of that 100-foot sheer cliff rock of terror and went on the ride of their life. I want to show you what it looked like. It's pretty intense. I got to tell you, though, when you stand at the top of that, it's even worse. And every one of us had listened to the 20-plus minute safety explanation. We knew the instructions. We knew the statistics of safety. We knew how much we could actually trust the rope to guide us toward our destination. We understood at length the training that our guides had gone through to lead us into this insanity. We understood and even practiced the technical aspects of rappelling, but none of this information changed us. It only brought us to the edge of the cliff. And even going to the edge of a cliff brought the most boisterous of students to complete silence. It was a steady pace that morning and that afternoon until one particular individual. She got to the top, she clipped in, and began to shuffle backwards, and she completely froze. You ever seen somebody freeze before? She began to shake, her knees knocked together, and for the next 25 minutes, she would make progress one step back towards the edge, and then four desperate steps back to safety. Information kept coming her way, and it sounded like this: it's safe. Yeah, right. You'll have fun. Come on, you can do it. And then my personal favorite that started to emerge after time went on: we can't wait any longer. Just go. And finally, her foot slipped, and so did she. Now, it was only a foot and a half down the rock, but she had gone too far to turn back now, and she almost had to go. Now, it wasn't until we moved that we truly knew. No matter what level of fear they faced at the top of that rock, the confidence and excitement that every one of those students had at the bottom was incredible. And every one of them, even including the individual that I spoke of, wanted to run back up to the top of the rock and do it all over again. Because that's what happens when you move. Growing in faith, being transformed, is like this. It happens in our everyday, ordinary lives when we move with God where He is leading us. Sometimes that movement can be scary for us. Other times it can feel really normal. Sometimes that means that we change a lot in its massive movement. Other times it might just simply be minuscule steps, but yet it's that we make progress with God. It's coming to a point that our information about God and what He is calling us into doesn't stay information any longer, but it actually moves us somewhere to becoming something, someone. Romans 12:2 says this poignantly, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." You know, the verb here, be transformed, is metamorpho. Does that sound like any word that we use in English today? It's metamorphosis. It's a changing, and it's radical. This is the root of this word. We go with God on the journey that He has for us to be made new, more like Jesus every day. And so today, as Joel said, we want to introduce you to a brand new initiative for us here at Westwood that we believe will help us all to grow together and will help our church to be the best that we possibly can be at that actually happening tangibly in every one of our lives. But first, I want to start with just a couple questions, because I think questions at this point are really helpful. And some of those questions are, how do we do this best in any church? What is discipleship or spiritual growth or life transformation? First, how does one define it? And then how does anyone do anything about it? And what might it look like? Fact of the matter is often the closer that we get to this topic of discipleship, the harder that it becomes to define. And one of the reasons why is the one thing that we can all agree upon with certainty and clarity is that Jesus told us to make disciples. But then beyond that, the instructions for how a church does that are not very many. And God trusts the church to be able to do that well. Discipleship, spiritual growth, faith formation, we call it many things, and then we do it in many different ways. And every church must think through who it's called to be by God and how to best position its culture and its people that we all are changed. But the most important question about this subject is, who is responsible for life transformation? And the first answer to that question is God. And that's a good thing. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul writes this, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Growing in faith, being transformed, is essentially growing up. Scripture says here and affirms in other places, you and I don't have the ability to grow ourselves on our own strength. We just don't. Any growth that happens in our lives should cause us to do a couple things. First, to remember that it's God and be grateful. Second, to remember that it's not us and be grateful. And here's why. The pressure is off of us. It's just off of us. We don't need to get all courageous and perform. We don't need to get weary. We don't need to get cynical. We don't even need to beat ourselves up, because we must remember that we are not alone and it is God who enables us to change. All we need to do is simply live with open hands and heart and receive the movement of God in our lives, in our hearts, and our souls. Receive His grace. Second, you. You are responsible for life transformation. Jude 20 and 21, it says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." I want to make something really clear at this point, because what I'm trusting is that across this room and across those of us who are online, I think that many of us are at many different points of a journey of faith in Jesus Christ. Some of us have received him and are living vitally in him. Some of us are still trying to figure out what faith looks like. And regardless of wherever we're at, regardless of our posture towards him, what is true of every single one of us is God loves you just the way that you are right now. Not as you should be, not as you will be in him, as is. But what gets even better is that God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay the way that we are. And lovingly, powerfully, gracefully, he joins where we are and brings us to a place that only he can. And that's good news. Amen? All we have to do is receive it. We have this statement, Joel mentioned it on the video, and it's been a phrase for us that he's led us in over the years. And it sounds like this: I can't make you live in vital union with God. And you can't make me live in vital union with God. And I think that's a really helpful basis of a common ground of understanding. So I'm going to have us practice this. Are you game for that? What I want you to do is to turn to somebody nearby you, and I want you to want one person to say, "I can't make you live in vital union with God." And then I want the other person to say, "You can't make me either." All right? Let's practice that. Go ahead and do that. All right, good practice, everybody. Now, is there anybody in the room that it felt a little too good to say that? Being transformed by God does not happen because of wishful thinking. Being transformed by God happens because of a willful receiving of God's movement in our lives and in our heart with wide open hands. It's not by accident. It's by God's power with our effort sprinkled in. And it's moving from here I find myself today, and there's where God wants me to go, being tethered to him to pull us into where he wants us to go. It's that simple. It doesn't happen by wishful thinking. It happens as a result of willfully receiving his movement in our lives. And I think if you and I could wake up with a thought in our minds most days, and the thought is this: I am responsible for receiving God's work of transformation in my life today, I think a lot of us would change. I would change. I am responsible for receiving God's work of transformation in my life today. So if God is responsible and you are responsible, thirdly, the church is responsible. Here's what it says in Colossians 1:28. "He is the one whom we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." So here's what's implied here. It is the responsibility of the leadership of the church to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now, if that were the only dimension to spiritual growth, I wouldn't have slept last night. How about you? Because that's a big responsibility. But when you combine all three of those, that's unstoppable. If we remember that God is the one who grows us, that every one of us as individuals are responsible for receiving his movement in our lives, and if we know that as the church, we can provide opportunities for you to meet God and grow where you are right now today, that is unstoppable. And that's where we want to continue to go. We can't make you live in vital union with God, but what we can do is provide environments and the right invitations to help you to make the most out of what God is doing in your life. And I hope and I pray, we've prayed for this, that today would be a moment in which you recognize the voice of God, his promptings, God's promptings, those GPs, maybe even this morning, and that it would be so abundantly clear to you that you would simply move with all the courage and the strength that you can muster up to receive what God is doing in your world and find the right next move in your journey wherever you're at. As Joel said in this introduction video, about a year ago, our pastors, directors, and staff set off on a journey of simplification. We prayed, we read some books and articles, we got close to how other churches are doing this, we discussed, at times we debated, we felt certain and we felt uncertain at the same time, and we arrived, or yet better said, we are arriving at this point in our church's journey at something that we think is going to be very impactful for our future. Our key question as we went was, how can we help our congregation to simplify the process of life transformation so that everyone will know with clarity what we can do about that? You know, over the course of our 20 years, there has been a lot that God has built in and through us as a church. And as a result of the offerings that we have, we know and have heard from our congregation that at times it can be difficult to navigate that and know what the best next move is because there's so much. Where we landed, many of our offerings will fall into these categories. And over the course of the next years ahead, with God's help, we are going to work at being more simple so that Westwood can be the best that Westwood can be at helping all of our lives be transformed. And that's going to be an exciting journey. One of the main recognitions that we've had in getting where we are is that every single one of us is on a journey of faith. And all of our journeys are unique. The person whom you're sitting to, you have a different journey with than they do. All of them are unique. But while they are unique, we believe that we similarly share in three movements of a faith journey. And we want to introduce you today to what we're calling the movements of life transformation. They are be awakened, be prepared, and be a blessing. And what I want to do is go through all three of those, unpack them a little bit. And all I ask is that as I do so, you hear this with a question on your mind of, where does God have me most right now? Where does God have me most right now? So first, be awakened. To be awakened to faith in Christ and the purpose that God has for all of our lives, to God's presence and his call. In this movement, we receive the blessings from God that he wants to give to us. Awakening is a start or a new beginning. There is rebirth or a discovery made that fosters a desire to move forward with God. And I think about examples from the Bible, and I think first about the prodigal son, that parable that Jesus told about a young son who had an inheritance from his father that was due him. And before his father physically died and he would receive that inheritance, he walked up to his father and said, "Dad, you're dead to me. I want my inheritance right now, and I'm out." And he began to walk away from his family. And the scripture says that he squandered his inheritance on wild living. But then in later in Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses, when he was awakened, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father." Or the disciples. In the days and weeks after Jesus was crucified, they were pretty deflated because everything that they thought that Jesus was going to do had temporarily been lost in their mind. And a couple of them were on a road to a city called Emmaus. And after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus showed up and walked right next to them incognito. They didn't know that it was Jesus. And they told the story of all that had happened in those days about Jesus to Jesus, and they didn't even know it. And then they're in a room, and Jesus takes bread, and he blesses it and breaks it, and all of a sudden their eyes were opened and they were awakened. And here's what they said about what that moment was like. "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" What was happening? They were being awakened with courage and strength to the purpose that God had for them to inaugurate this movement called the church. They were being awakened. You know, one of the most thrilling things is to see this happen here at Westwood. One of our staff members, whose name is Kim Hansen, a few years ago was awakened by God in multiple ways within a short window of time. And I want to show you her story now. Would you take a look at the screens?
My fiancé Ray and I discovered Westwood by doing an internet search. And so we came to Westwood and I got baptized here. We got married here and I discovered that I have spiritual gifts that I've since used by serving in different capacities and on different ministry teams. I took a Life Keys class and I discovered that I'm a unique creation of God's and I was made with and for a purpose. I discovered and I was awakened to the fact that prayer is a huge deal. And that was an awakening for me because I had never been in the same room with somebody who prayed, much less being prayed for and prayed over. I was blessed to be introduced to imperfect and flawed people. That cinched it for me that I not only needed to be here, I belonged here and that I fit in. My biggest awakening was when I came across Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that said, I have been saved by grace through faith and not by works. That was huge awakening for me, and it became my life verse. A lot of little awakenings have happened along the way as I came to learn about and embrace the concept of open hands. I now understand why I tithe and why I give away, as God has given to me and I've been blessed.
Because of a Google search, Kim and her fiance show up here. And in the matter of months, God awakens her in so many different ways. And it reminds me of Ephesians 5, where it says, "Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine upon you." So what does this look like? Perhaps it looks like us recognizing our need for Jesus to be our Savior for the first time and surrendering to Him. It might look like experiencing God's work on our lives in the midst of a difficult life transition. It might be us renewing our faith after a season, perhaps, of feeling distant from God. It might look like someone discovering the spiritual gifts that God has given to them and putting those gifts into action and moving in that direction. And as a church, next Sunday at 12:30, we're going to see this in a very profound way. When people walk into the waters of Lake Minnewashta to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And it's going to be great. So a couple invitations for you, now being that I mentioned it. First of all, come to that. It's going to be right after this third hour at 12:30, actually. And come and celebrate with those people. And then if you have been awakened, if you have come to a knowledge of Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've not yet celebrated it through baptism, consider strongly your next move with God being celebrating that through baptism. You can find more information in the program that you have this morning. The second movement of life transformation is to be prepared. With understanding of who God is and skills for ministry, we learn together in our community with each other to deepen our relationship with God, with ourselves, and with other people and with this world. As we grow in knowledge and in the grace that God gives to us through Jesus' teachings. Jesus called those that followed him when he walked this earth his disciples. And that's still our name today. And that essentially means to be a learner, to watch the way that Jesus did it and to do that. And as I look back on those people who follow Jesus the closest, who would eventually go on to just move the church forward in that area in which the New Testament scriptures are written about how that happened, he spent 3 years with them, teaching them, training them, correcting them when they got it wrong, encouraging them when they got it right. And then he sent them out and said, "I'm out of here. Good luck, guys." And what the great part about this was is that they were unfinished people. And Jesus gave them what they needed exactly when they needed it through the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's the old adage, God does not call the prepared. He prepares the called. And he invites you as is, to join him on his mission. I'll never forget the first time that I experienced this. I was 19 years old, and I found myself on an airplane out to the state of West Virginia. I'd never been out there before. And I was going to join a staff of a mission organization that invites high school students from around the country to come and to serve in those local areas. And my responsibility was to give 5 talks about God in the Bible to those students 7 weeks that summer. That's 35 times. I'd never done that before. And I'm thanking God today that those talks were not recorded like this one is right now back in 1999. But what I recognize now as I look back is that entire year up to that point was a non-coincidental preparation that God was up to prepare me for those moments that would come that summer and then beyond. God gives us what we need when we need it. And over my time here, I've had and heard multiple people reflect on the journey of what that looks like to be prepared by God in the moment. And I want to share two of those stories with you. Let's take a look at the screens together.
So God has prepared me in a few different ways. First off is through my life experiences. Secondly is through the teachings of Sunday worship service and Wednesday night student ministry where I serve. It has taught me that the Bible is real and true and that it changes us. And it's given me guidance on how to live. And the impact of this preparation has been the shaping of my heart with His truths to be His hands and feet.
One of the ways that God has prepared me is by bringing in new friends for me in a time that I really needed them, in a season that was kind of difficult. And many of them are through Westwood, actually, through a small group that I lead and a ministry team that I'm involved in. Scripture says that iron sharpens iron. And through these friendships that God has provided for me, it's just put those words into practice.
Gary and Jill have experienced probably what many of us have, and that God's work of preparation happens in our lives real time for a purpose. And this is very important to us as a church because we view our job as to provide environments for you to be prepared, or equipped is another way of saying that, because you are sent. In Ephesians 4, it says this: God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, building up the body of Christ. In that passage of scripture, who's a saint? You. You are. If you are in Jesus Christ, that is a mark of your identity. Now, I understand perhaps for your faith background, that might feel a little uncomfortable to you to be called that, but the Bible is abundantly clear. It's not about what you bring. It's about what God has put in you through the Holy Spirit. You are a saint, and you are sent. And God has a very distinct purpose for you in this world. So what does this look like? It might look like someone taking a step toward friendships here at Westwood, perhaps through a small group, because God speaks to us through our friends. Oftentimes the thing that we need to hear the most. Maybe for someone, it's sensing a need to understand how to read the Bible and moving forward to learn skills on how to do that. Or perhaps it's developing a skill for ministry in which we can grow in so that we can influence others toward the God that loves them more deeply than they'll ever know with greater effectiveness. So the first movement is to be awakened, the second movement is to be prepared, and then the third movement is to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. There's a rhythm. This is in our DNA at Westwood because it's in our DNA as ones who are loved by God. God has a mission, and He's always had it. And that is to bless everybody in the world with His love. And His strategy is you. It's you. God moves through us to make a difference in people's lives. In your everyday life, in your everyday work, in your everyday family, in your everyday neighborhood, and then beyond throughout the world. Genesis 12:1-3 says this: "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" That's the same calling that we have in Jesus Christ to bless. We are called to go above and beyond ourselves, not necessarily somewhere other than where we are right now. And then throughout the world, here, near, and far, to be faithful to God's calling. And what's so cool about this is that when we bless others, we are blessed in return, are we not? God moves, we experience joy in it, and there's nothing like when someone discovers that, perhaps for the first time. And I want to show you two stories of people who have been a blessing and have received from God in return. Let's take a look at the screens.
God placed two opportunities to be a blessing at Westwood into my lap. I wasn't sure that I could do either, but one was to co-lead a women's small group, and the other was a high school small group leader. Both of these were things that I didn't expect to be anything I could do, but I learned and grew more than I could have ever imagined. When I finally got out of the way and decided to let God bless people through me, through these leadership positions and living with a bless someone mindset, I've experienced more joy than I've ever experienced and never could express.
I sensed God nudging me to be a blessing, and I heard that there was a need in children's ministry. I didn't know what that would look like, but understood that third grade boys needed a leader. And I started to ask in my mind, why not me? Instead of thinking of all the excuses, and decided to take, instead of a passive role, more of an active role. And the blessing has just been amazing. I was very nervous, and it was a little intimidating at first, but with each week, my excitement grew as I came to know the boys more and more, and they came to know me, so much so that recently, one Sunday, one boy shared with me that he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, and that really blessed my life, and I'm just glad that I could really be a part of that.
I felt at an early age that God was preparing my heart for adoption. I really can't think of a time in my life where adoption wasn't on my heart. And so early on in Paul's and my marriage, we really started to talk about adoption.
You know, we both felt, you know, led to look into it further. And
yeah. And through a lot of prayer throughout this entire journey, we just really felt called to adopt from China.
So in July of 2012, Kim and I embarked for China and adopted Noah, our son, and brought him home.
Yeah, not long after Noah was home, I felt the nudging to want to go back and serve. And so last fall, I headed back to China to serve in an orphanage and love on some kids as many as I could. And through that, and even before that, God was just really working on my heart and opening it to adopt again, and in turn, I think Paul's as well. And
well, you came home with so much enthusiasm and, mm-hmm. and just brimming with the joy of serving all those wonderful children, and my heart was being stirred as well. And we said, well, if we're going to do this, why not now? Let's go. Let's do this. And we started the process again of adopting a little girl who we hope to bring home within the next month or two.
Isn't that cool? 2 Corinthians 6 says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. N.T. Wright says about this passage of scripture, yes, you have accepted this free gift of new life from God. Now you have to make it real, to work it out and to see what it means in practice. And so what does this look like when people move with God to be a blessing? It may look like Paul and Kim and Jill, who have a deep desire embedded within their heart that God causes to just come alive. And both here, near, and far, they make a tangible difference. And they move with the question, why not us, from inaction to action. It might look like stepping up, perhaps, to volunteer here in the church. The opportunities here really are endless, and they fit everybody, no matter where you're at. It might look like us going out of this place and these doors for the rest of this weekend and beyond, that we love our neighbors through prayer and then action as God leads us. And it certainly will look like going beyond our comfort zones, because when we are in the epicenter of being a blessing, we got to depend on God, and he shows up. But to be a blessing does not mean that you or I have it all figured out. It does not mean that. It simply means that we bless others by being who God has called us to be and putting the love that we have received from him in action. So in summary, we want Westwood. No, actually, to make this more specific, we want you to be awakened to faith and purpose. We want you to be awakened with understanding and skills, or prepared with understanding and skills. And we want you to be a blessing by being and doing with God as he leads you. And these three movements describe what's happening when we trust in God and when we move. These movements are not silos. In other words, you will be awakened while you are being prepared. You will be prepared while you're being a blessing. And you will be a blessing while you're being awakened. They are dynamic like that. But yet, though God works in perhaps all three movements simultaneously, there is usually one of those movements that rises to the surface, that houses most of the work that God is doing in our worlds and our lives at any given point in our journey. And lastly, over the years that are in front of us as a church, from children's ministry all the way through adults, these movements will help us to respond to what God is doing here so that we are simplified and fine-tuned so that this church will be all that it can be to help people be transformed in their lives, both here, near, and far. And it's going to be an exciting journey. But before we go on it, how about you? How about you? Today I want to appeal to you. Don't let this just be mere information. Don't let this just be a strategy meeting. Let it move you. What we have prayed for and what we believe is that in this room, God moves because he's here. The Spirit prompts us, gives us those little God promptings, those GPs that might help us to identify how to take what we're hearing and join God in what he wants to do in all of our individual lives. The question for you is, will you listen and will you move? Will you move? So I want to ask a couple questions out of that that will help us to take next steps. First, perhaps maybe you've put your message notes away. I want to invite you to take them back out again. And as you look at those three movements, be awakened, be prepared, be a blessing. Which one of those movements does it feel like God has you most in right now? Circle that. Just draw a circle around it with your pen and bring it home with you today. We worship here on Sundays, and God uses this experience to transform our lives in significant ways. But to appeal to you again, don't view this worship experience as the destination. View this worship experience together as a community as the starting line. The starting line to something beyond. Whether that's here involvement at Westwood or whether that's out there that awaits you in this next week and month and year of your life, that you would view this as a starting line at which God can take us and move us and do only the things that he can in and through our worlds. And then as you circled perhaps those movements, if you circled Be Awakened, you can see some ideas over there to the right. The first of those is to get into a small group. At the end of this month, we have this event called Group Connect, which we'll have you register for and ask you to do that so that we can take some information that you give us and that we place you into a group that you can find success with. Hundreds of people have moved into groups over the last few years, and it's really thrilling to see what has happened. Or perhaps take a class on Tuesdays like Alpha. You know, Mark Middleberg says that most people who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior are two or three really good questions away from taking that step. Alpha is a great environment, no matter where you're at with God, to ask those big questions. Maybe that's you. Or Life Keys, to discover your purpose and discover your gifts. If you circled Be Prepared, get into a group. Stop by our table, maybe outside in the comments, to see what groups are there already. Go to Group Connect and register for that. Or take a class on Tuesday nights, and you can see a list there on your message notes next to this movement. By the way, we have moved all of our key classes that we have built with God over the years here to Tuesday nights. Instead of scattering them around the week, we're using Tuesday nights as a hub of learning. And we're adding some fun stuff into it. Our cafe will be open on Tuesday nights. About every other week, some folks that are on the stage leading us in musical worship will come and play acoustically their own tunes. We're going to have food so that you can come straight from work and go right into your learning environment. This all kicks off on September 15th, and we're starting. Here's the last fun idea. At least we think it's fun. We're going to start with a worship experience that night before all the classes start. And it's going to house a message from Joel that will send us into that learning so that we can be transformed to the best of our ability. You can find more information online, and I'll show you that in just a second. Or lastly, if you circled be a blessing, maybe your next move is to get involved here at Westwood and to serve and to lead or to volunteer in a place that can be an opportunity for you to contribute to what God is doing in and through this place. Part of what we're looking for in our children's and student ministry, we have a need for 40 people to step up and start leading this fall. And I wonder across the expanse of this room or for those of us watching online, if there are people who, like Paul Munson heard on that video, decide to take action and move in that direction to impact the next generation for Jesus Christ. We're believing that you're here. Or perhaps it's you going out in your life and having a different view and enabling and allowing God to move in and through you so that you can be a blessing in your neighborhood and beyond. Why not you? Why not you? For all of these next steps, I want to show you something. We've devoted our homepage on our website to you taking these next steps clearly. This is what our website looks like right now. Take a look at the screens, and you'll see three buttons there. One is to take a class, if that might be your next move. Two is to join a group, if that might be your next move. Or three is to become a volunteer to lead or serve or volunteer within our church, if that might be your next move. And I just want to say this. By this time tomorrow, 12:10, Monday morning, Monday afternoon, would you take a step? Would you move where God is nudging you? Because I believe that you will find that it is a powerful thing to move with God. And I want to bring you back to that cliff in 2007 in Colorado. Because at the end of the day, we sat in the bus beneath that cliff, all of us, students, leaders. And we were going to head back to camp. But before we went back to camp, the guides got on the bus and asked the question, has anybody on this bus not gone who doesn't want to miss this as an opportunity to experience something awesome? And right away, someone on the bus yelled, Brian didn't go. I'd been found out, man. And I kid you not, spontaneously, the kids started slow clapping, chanting my name, and when those things happen, you can't not go, right? So I ran up to the rock, I got in a harness, I got clipped in, and then I hung off the side of the cliff. It kind of looked like this. Now, I didn't look that cool. That's somebody different. But I remember that moment, almost like I was hanging off that cliff right now. My legs were shaky. You ever get jello legs where it doesn't feel like you can stand with confidence? Your hands ever start to shake when you're nervous? That was the way that I felt. I looked down beneath me on the rock below, beneath it, and I saw every single student with their head sticking out of the bus window, watching what I would do. And for me, as a combination of everything that was going on in that moment, the most terrifying prospect was to not move, to not go. This is unlike me. In a moment with all of my physical stamina, I jumped as hard and high and far off of that cliff as I could go. And in one whole movement, I went all the way down with speed that was crazy. And I'm so glad that I did. Because if I didn't, I would have missed a moment in my life where every cell in my body was alive. And for us in this room and online, what we believe by faith is that we are all standing on that edge today. And I pray that God has prompted you. And if it's not clear at this point, that it will become clear in the next 24 hours. And that you will have the courage and the strength to move. Because friends, throughout my faith journey, there have been many moments where I've come to the edge of that cliff. And I've looked down and it's terrified me. But every time I have jumped, I have never been disappointed in what God does. And I believe that we could all tell stories like that. So what is the next move that God has for you? And will you jump? Will you go? In just a moment, we're going to sing the song that we did over the offertory. And I just want to ask that unless it's desperate, that you don't leave. Because this is a moment in which I truly believe that God will continue to speak to us if we make ourselves fully available to him, as is, not as we should be. And that we just simply pray these words of this song through our singing. My heart is yours. My heart, God, is yours. Take it all. Move me only where you can move me. And God will speak. So to that end, would you stand with me? And I'd like to lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing together. God, at every moment of our lives, what is true, no matter where we're at in faith, you are with us. And you love us as we are, and you want to take us to only a place that you can. And so as it is happening this morning, would you continue to speak to our hearts? Would you move in us as we sing and worship? And would you, as we leave these doors, give us the strength to take that next move, no matter what it may be? In the name of Jesus, we pray.